to us today. He is going to speak to us in a wonderful, wonderful way today. How many ready to be empowered by the Word of God? This is an opportunity right now for you to be empowered. You're not going to leave without strength. Brother Hannah, are we able to get that? Hosea chapter 12 and verse 3. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 3. God is going to talk to every one of us today. Hallelujah. Do you feel His presence in this house? Hosea chapter 12, verse 3, he took his brother by the heel in the womb. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. And then it says this. There's something in this next phrase we have to get. And by his strength, he had power with God. How many really wants true power with God? Hallelujah. Not church. Right. Not religion. Right. Not tradition. Right. Not formality. I'm not talking about that. Right. Not filling a time slot. But you want power with God. You're in church for about an hour and a half, 2 hours a week. I don't need power with God just during those 2 hours. Somebody better hear me. Somebody better hear me. There's some other hours I need power with God. There's some other moments I need power with God. And I need tools for. I'm glad we're all here right now. I'm so thankful we're here right now. But this is a refueling station. What we see right now in these moments is what you're going to take with you to equip and empower you when you go and have your week. Come on, you hear me right now? By his strength, he had power with God. Now watch this. Not only did he have power with God, look at the next verse. Yay, or yes, or absolutely. He also had power over the angel. And what? Woo! Telling you guys, God gonna do something mighty in this place. He had power with God. He had power with an angel. And he prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. That lies the answer. Or gives us the equal sign to the equation of how did he have power with God and how did he have power with an angel. He wept and he made supplication. He found him in Bethel and there he spake with us. I want to preach to you, and don't make an assumption when I give you the title, but the message is power in prayer. Power in prayer. Why don't you place your Bibles down here for a moment? Lift your hands and your voices. Lord Jesus, there is going to be a word of revelation that I pray would get a hold of every one of us here this morning. We are a group of people, God, that are engaged on a journey to climb higher than where we've been. We are men and women and children here in the house of God that want more than just church, want more than just any cute message, want more than just tradition. There's something stirring in us that I got to have more of you during my week, God, when there is all kind of chaos and demonic influences around me and sickness and burdens all around. I can't wait to Sunday. I need something on a Tuesday afternoon. I need to have a power with God on a Thursday night. And so I'm praying, God, that as the word of God is released in this house, you would equip every vessel, equip every heart, and empower us with a life-changing word. If you want a life-changing word, say, God, speak to me. Hallelujah. Now clap your hands. all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God. This introductory scripture is packed with so much power. It is amazing to see in the verses here, two verses of scripture, that we can fit into the lives of every person that wants to prevail. I have to apologize because honestly, my messages are not for everyone. I try to have a message that speaks to everybody. But that's my job. Your job is to see what side of the receiving end you are. And in that case, this message is not going to fall only on good ground. There's going to be some ground that's going to fall by the wayside. There's going to be some ground that's going to be choked up by the thorns because of the cares of life are going to overtake in what the word desires to say. But I do believe that somebody in this place is going to allow the word to fall on their hearts and be good ground because they truly want to prevail in their lives. They're sick and tired of being losers. Again, it won't be for everybody. It's not going to offend me. I'm going to preach to those that are ready to prevail. I'm going to preach to those that really want to succeed in the kingdom of God. To every person that wants to be in the will of God and operating in the purpose of God. To everyone that has and may have even started behind and wants to catch up. To everyone that felt like you always have been in second place, left out, forgotten, overlooked. To anyone that has been in a past failure and simply want to be redeemed by the precious blood on the Lamb. This message is for you. To anyone that wants a chance. To anyone that wants to change. To anyone that wants power with God. To anyone that has progressed in positive ways of your life and you like the taste of God in your midst and you simply say, I want seconds. Have anybody ever had something so good? You said, excuse me, can I have a little bit more? Is there anybody here that has tasted and seen that the Lord is good and now you got an itch and a taste for it and say, I want a little bit more of that power? I need to calm down real quick here. As we know that every first Sunday of the month here in Lighthouse Church of Independence, our theme is back to the basics. Basics, it is a theme that is set on making sure we continue in our desire to fulfill God's purpose, not our purpose, God's purpose for our lives, and remind ourselves of the first and most important things that are foundational to that happening. And one of the most basic things that we need is prayer. Prayer is the connecting the natural with the spiritual. Prayer is the bridge that connects humanity to the divine. Prayer is the channel that allows the flesh to be transferred into the spirit, the natural to move into the supernatural. And I pray as a people that we would be a group of people that want to go beyond the natural and what we see in front of us and walk in supernatural places. And this morning, I do not want to just explain or just talk to you about what prayer is. I think we all academically know what prayer is. I want to take you a little further and truly help you understand that not what we do, but what it does. Am I talking to anybody here today? Because if you truly understand what it does over just understanding what it is. I believe this basic thing will change your life and equip you to battle your life's challenges. The message was stirred inside of me when I listened to a message from my late bishop and pastor, Bishop Kenneth Haney. He was the former superintendent of our organization, and yet he also was my pastor. He not only was a man of prayer, but he was a man of faith. But the thing I realized as I got older is that he was a man of faith because he was a man of prayer. It triggered something in me as I began to listen to him preach that there is a domino effect when it comes to prayer than it just becoming something more than what we say or what we do. I remember growing up in this church under his leadership. We prayed intensively before each and every service. We prayed for the touch of God to move upon us. We prayed before every revival service, and we had revival. Praise God. I remember I was in the choir as a teenager, and we prayed fervently before we ministered in song. I remember we went out on chorale tour all over California and Arizona, and we prayed in the bus. It was 100 and something degrees in the bus, but us young teenagers understood we are going to pray because we want to move of God every time we minister in song all over those states. We prayed before each drama production. We prayed in our youth services. We prayed in our main services. We had late night prayer meetings, midweek prayer meetings, extended prayer and fast chains. Prayer was an intentional and key part of our church culture, and it was not a lay me down, pray the Lord my soul to keep kind of silent whisper prayer. No, it was a prayer that came out of the book of James that was fervent and that was effectual, and we saw what God could do when men and women would put all of their energy and put all of their effort and say, I'm here to touch God Almighty, and I need the anointing of God if we're going to have him show up on a continual basis. But again, the more and more than just what we did, I'm not here to preach to you about the what that we did. I want to unlock an understanding of the why that we did it. Anyone can preach all day long to all of us about the need to pray and the need to do things in many different areas, but when you get an understanding of the why behind the what, though then that will become more effectual in your own personal life. We all know that people can tell us what to do, but sometimes when we don't know the why, we don't even do it. Sometimes I need a why more than just the what. I want to get beyond the head knowledge of what I need to do and move into the why I need to do it. Am I preaching to anybody here this morning? Because I want to see lives influential and not ineffectual. We want to see results but not routine. We want to be empowered and not exposed. We want to be conquering, not cowardly. I want to be faithful and not faint-hearted. There's things I need, and so I need more than the what of prayer, but I need a why of prayer. The what to do is prayer, but the why is the understanding that power is what, prayer is what allows me to prevail and live in the place of continuous victory. I don't know what your desire is, but my desire for myself and my desire for you is to live in continuous victory. That every day you wake
wake up and say, I know there might be problems facing me, but yet this is a day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. That does not happen by accident. That happens when you connect to a source and a greater power than there is. First, let me allow you to hear a little bit of the what. But again, I don't want the what to be our main focus this morning. But when it comes to the what of prayer, it is not sufficient just to pray while you are here at church. Let me tell you why, if you don't believe me. Because there are too many things we face, and there are too many things we're fighting against just to pray a little prayer in church. There's too much going on outside of 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock on Sunday morning that I cannot just pray here in church. In fact, some reason why some of you can't even pray in church is because you've been beat down all week long outside of church. And so when you get to church, you don't even know how to say hallelujah. When you get, y'all ain't hear me this morning, you've been facing all kind of demons, all kind of pressures, all kind of chaos in your life. And if you hadn't said a prayer, it's no wonder that when you come in the house of God and we say wave bye bye, you don't even have, and I'm not ridiculing you, I'm not condemning you, I'm watching what's really going on the inside. A sign of you being asked to do something simple and you not doing a simple thing speaks you've been going through some stuff. I'm not mad at you. You can't even wave bye bye because you don't really believe it's going anywhere. And so why am I gonna waste my time and say bye bye to my pain and bye bye to my sorrow if I know what I'm about to face this week? But can I tell something? Body, before the service is over, you go way bye-bye. Not because I'm telling you, but because your eye is on Jesus and you believe his power and you believe his authority and you believe, I preach to somebody right now, and you believe that God can heal you this morning. As I preach to you this morning, my heart's desire is to get you to a place where you understand prayer is the key to get you to prevail in your life. There are three positions I want to talk to you about the why of prayer. The before prayer, the during the prayer, and the after the prayer. Everyone say before. During and after. Number one, before prayer, lack of prevailing prayer is like going into a boxing ring, bout after bout, round after round, blow after blow, without exercising and eating. How are you expecting to win in this fight if you have not provided your body with what it needs to fight? In our opening scripture, it states that Jacob took his older brother by the heel. And we know from that day on, Jacob always was after something he was not in position to receive. Please hear me this morning. He constantly was chasing after something he was not in position to receive. In this place, he had to use carnal measures to get what he wanted. He had to be deceitful. He had to be a trickster. He had to be a secret plotter. He had to be a schemer. In other words, he felt in order for him to get the things in life that he desired, he had to do wrong things in life in order to get them. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? There's desires in your life. There's hungers inside of you. There are so many people that simply want to win and get things in life and move ahead in life, but because of wrong teaching, low self-esteem, past losses, or examples they witness, they feel the only way they are able to get what they need is to grab at the heels of others. And they have to be manipulative, sneaky, always looking for an edge. Am I talking to anybody here? This is before prevailing prayer picture. Before prayer, they felt like the underdog. They always felt like things don't go right for them. There are people here, you feel like life is never going to go right for you. You feel that advancing only happens when you don't do things that are not right. And you know people who are quote-unquote doing well. And you know that they got their quote-unquote well by doing wrong things. Am I talking to anybody here today? You see people who are prospering, but you know how they got their prospering was through wickedness. And you wonder in yourself, is that the only way to move ahead? Is that the only way to have strength and joy in your life? There are people here that you feel like the only way you can find love and acceptance is with the person that you're not married to, because you think you are unlovable. There are people here, praise God, that say, I can only make money if I lie. I can only be satisfied if I do things in secret. I can only get ahead if I disregard some of God's laws. I can be only happy if I'm doing things that satisfy me first. Esther was another one, just like Jacob, that was not prevailing in her life. She got promoted to a position, and that was great. But in her promotion, she initially wasn't prevailing. Some of you have made great progress and strides in your walk with God, but there's still some areas you feel like you're not prevailing in. You're so thankful that God has promoted you in certain areas, but in certain areas you still find yourself, even though I have a title, a position, and positive things in my life, I'm still not prevailing. And she heard that her people were about to be destroyed. But in the middle of all that, she still was timid. And she kept quiet. And she says, I can't do anything about it. She felt maybe the best idea was just to let things happen. Let destruction happen around me. And there's nothing I can do about the destruction that's going on around me. Am I talking to anybody here today? She did not have any courage or boldness to rock the boat and say things are not going to continue going the way they've been going. She was not at a point yet where she says, there has to be something that arises in me and say, this is not the normal that I will ever find myself getting used to. But at first she had no fight, and these are two examples of where we can be before prevailing prayer. When we're not praying, we feel inadequate. When we're not praying, we feel no sense of direction. When we're not praying, we feel it's better to hide and just let things happen, let them flow as they were, and I have no control over, and we don't feel anything but powerless. When we're not praying, our weaknesses get magnified. When we're not praying, our sins get bigger. Our battles seem so strong. Our weights become so heavy. Our worries become greater, because when we're not praying, our burdens and our cares are stronger. This is the mindset before prayer. But the awesome thing about our opening scripture is that Jacob shows us that there can be a shift in your mindset. Jacob is a key example for us to realize that when I look to God as my source and not myself as my source, then things can turn around from what I have been before prayer. It's not just the prayer that that's being prayed. It's the mindset in my prayer. He said, I refuse to let you go, because he came to grips that if my life was going to be different, I had to believe that God can do anything. If my life will change, I have to believe that with God all things are possible. He came to a mindset that says, I've been trying in my own way and it had not helped me at all. And so now I'm going to hold on to prayer. I'm going to change my mindset and say, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm going back to the promise you gave to my father Isaac and to my grandfather Abraham. You know what he said? I'm not praying on my own accord. I'm praying because I received the word that I will be blessing the city. I shall be blessing the field. I will be blessed when I go up and when I go down. Can anybody preach with me and say, it's my time to be blessed. I'm going to have prevailing prayer. It's time for me to overcome like never before. By his strength, he had power with God. He says, yea, power over the angel, and he prevailed. This is what I see Hosea notice. Hosea was a prophet that came many years later, but something got a hold of him through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, revelation begins to happen. And so as I'm preaching, I'm praying, you're praying in your heart, God, let the Holy Ghost reveal what you're trying to communicate. Everything ain't gonna be head knowledge. God has to get a hold of your spirit right now. I can only talk to your spirit right now. If you're in your flesh, you will miss what I'm saying. But if there's a hunger in your heart, you will never be the same again. You won't be weak and busted and tired. You will say, I got a prevailing prayer. I know how to pray, and I'm gonna have a power with God. I might have a power with an angel. Let me show you. In our text, we see Jacob was referenced, and it was shown first his character, even coming out of the womb, even as an infant in his mother's womb. He says, I'm going to hold on to something. And he held on to his brother's ankle. But it was not that. It was a mentality that he had, even from a baby, that says, I'm going to learn how to hold on to God until I get my answer. There's a character in you that might have been inside of you even as an infant that God says, I saw that hunger you had as a young person. There was something I put inside of you from the place of your mother's womb. And so when it came time to hold on and wrestle with that angel, it was not his first time he did it. This was the second time he understood, I'm gonna hold on to what I want. Is there anybody here that says, I'm gonna hold on to what I want? I'm gonna hold on to my victory. I'm gonna hold on to my breakthrough. I'm gonna hold on to my deliverance. I'm gonna hold on until I get my answer. In the beginning, I held on to wrong things. But now, you better hear what I'm saying. Before prevailing prayer, I held on to drugs. Before the prevailing prayer, I held on to depression. I held on to a bottle. I held on to a female or to a male. I held on to weed. Come on, somebody. I held on to the things of the world, but not no more. I'm going to hold on to God. I'm going to hold on to something else. As a result of a mentality he had, Hosea said, he has power with God and power with an angel.
and prevailed.
Jesus repeats the mindset. I'm talking to you about the mindset. You don't change your mind, you have no reason to pray. You got to change your mind to get you to pray. So Jesus did not just talk about prayer. When they asked about prayer, Jesus talked about the mindset of prayer. Please hear me. When he responded, he says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, no regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. She came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not do it. But she had a mindset. I don't care how many times you tell me no. Some of us don't pray because we heard no. I'm not going on the altar anymore. I'm not finding a time of praying anymore. He told me no. But when Jesus talked about the mindset of prayer, he talked to us about a woman of importunity who said, I don't care how many times he tells me no. I'm going to knock again. I'm going to seek again. I'm going to ask again. I'm talking to somebody about a mindset of prayer. Not just the act of prayer, but a mindset of prayer. I got to keep on praying because I need. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know how bad it is for you. But for me, I need an answer. I need a breakthrough. I need a blessing. So you can let go if you want to. But I got an opportunity. There's desires I want that I can't get by myself. There are ways about myself I don't even like about myself. And so I've got to pray because I can't change myself. My mentality is I don't possess the power. I don't possess the power. I don't possess the tools. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody here that understands that you are a sinner and you can't do things right. Can I tell you, if you get a mindset of prevailing power of prayer, you will see all those things come off of you in the name of Jesus. Hezekiah was in trouble. His kingdom was threatened. Don't look at me and say you don't have a kingdom. Yes, you do. Your own kingdom for your own life personally, your family, your finances, your health, and some of those areas in your life are in trouble right now. Wake up. They're in trouble. And Hezekiah was in trouble. His kingdom was threatened. And not only was his kingdom threatened, enemies were advancing. Enemies were winning. Are you seeing the enemy winning in other people's lives? And you're watching it? And you see the same signs headed towards you for destruction. No one could stand up to this king. He had so much momentum. He couldn't be beat. But what I find in 2 Kings 19 was a prayer move happened. I call it a prayer move this morning because we need to understand we have to have a strategy if we're going to have the victory. I say move this morning because so many of you feel stuck. The feeling before prayer, the heartache, the frustrations, the inability to deal with what's going on in your life. You don't even know how to deal with it. I play chess on my phone a lot, and I lose a lot. But there are times I feel stuck when I'm playing. But it's so amazing when I take a little bit more time before I make my next move. And I survey the pieces of the game. I see an opening. And I see a strategic move that allows me to end up gaining the victory. I want to tell somebody right now who feels like there's no way out of the position you're in right now. I tell you, if you go back to prayer, a revelation is going to come. Strategies to prevail. A prayer move that gives you when you have no option. And then God gives you an option. And you say, no more self-destruction. I'm not hitting the resign button. I'm not hitting the quit button. I'm not throwing in the towel. There's somebody out of here right now. You're about to throw in the towel. I tell you in the name of Jesus, don't you dare throw in that towel. Don't you dare quit. What you need is a prayer move. And when you understand that prayer will make all the difference, the Bible says in 2 Kings 19:15, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. And then verse 35, it says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 all at once, and they all were dead in the morning. When you have a prayer move, the Bible says that he had power with the angels. Can I tell you the why behind prayer? Because when you cannot do it by yourself and you have a prayer move, God wants to dispatch angels. I said God wants to dispatch angels on your behalf.
During the prayer, Daniel 10:2. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set in your heart. Is that today? Is that today? Is that today? Is the question, is that today for you? I said, is it today for you? From that first day when you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God, the Bible says, thy words were heard. And he says this, God says this, I have come for your words. There are people that say, it don't take me opening up my mouth in prayer. And I say, that's not what this Bible says. Why do I keep on losing? What are you saying? Why do I keep being tormented? What are you saying? He says, I am come for your words. What are you speaking? Are you speaking? It's time to prevail. Say it. Come on, I can't force you to do it. You got to have it. Make it personal. He's not coming for my words. He's coming for your words. I can preach this all day long. But until you say it for yourself, what good is what I'm doing up here?
This is awkward.
It's time for me to prevail.
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 You're getting it. You're getting it. Now believe that angels are taking your words and they're fighting for you. They're taking your words. They're taking what you're saying and what you believe. And he's about to fight somebody's battle. He's about to help somebody win over areas you could not win in. It's God that will send angels to help you prevail because you're saying it out of your own mouth. I pray that right now, God, that you will lose the faith in somebody's hearts. I can preach this all day long, but what good is it if we don't say it for ourselves? Loose angels! Peter was in prison, but Peter got rescued because someone said, it's time for us to prevail. We will not be shackled anymore. We will not be held dead. It's time for me to prevail. Now, the last thing I'm going to close is that it's overlooked, but we have to know that something will happen to us, something will change in us after we pray. We saw what happened before the prayer, and during the prayer we know angels are released. Well, there's one more thing I got to know. Esther, after she prayed, she had the boldness. After she prayed, she had the confidence to do something she never could have done by herself. There are certain things you're never going to do by yourself without prayer. Not only did she take a risk and go before the presence of a king uninvited, which was punishable by death, she went from hiding, from being passive, wanting to just wait in the background, to then boldly confronting her adversary. Is there anybody here that has demonic forces in your face that are trying to destroy you and concoct all kind of plans and decrees and systems to take you out? And before you sat back and you let him, but after prevailing prayer, you got right up in his face and you said, no more am I going to sit back quietly. And Esther pointed her finger at the enemy and said, Haman, you're the man, but I've been praying. And now I'm not afraid of you anymore. I got a boldness in my spirit to confront my enemy. Is there anybody here that wants to look your enemy in the face and say, it's my time to kill and destroy you? If that's your case, lift your heads and your voices. Boldness, boldness, boldness over your life today. Prayer is what allowed her to prevail and have confidence over her enemy. Acts 4:31 in conclusion. God's about to release boldness in this place. Boldness and authority. Backbone in this place. Tenacity in this house. Desire in this consecration. To fight, but not fight as one beats the air, but fight with an understanding, fight with a conviction that when you pray now, it's not a chore, it's what's giving me access to prevailing. Prayer gives me the boldness I didn't have before. Prayer unlocks things I would not push for anymore. Prayer releases things. Prayer binds the enemy. Prayer releases angels. Prayer brings victory. Prayer gives me power with God and the angels. Acts 4:31. They beat them. Beat them. But the Bible says, after they prayed, they got beat, and yet they kept on praying. They got knocked down, but yet they kept on praying. They might have messed up and fell down, but they kept on praying. And so after the prayer, I know I need to pray, but show me the after fact. Am I painting a picture to somebody about the after fact? And the Bible says the place where they were meeting was shaken. Can I tell somebody, God's about to break up the very foundation of where you are, and God's about to help you. I don't care how deep it is. God's about to break some stuff right now. God's about to lose some stuff right now. God's about to shake some stuff up right now, because after we pray, there's a great shaking. And when, and after they prayed, and after the house was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Watch this. Watch this. You got to get this part. They prayed. The foundations were shooken. So now you got to know that. But after I pray, foundations are going to be shooken up. The Holy Ghost came. But what happened after that was they spoke the word with boldness. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. God wants to help us understand that after you truly pray with the understanding, not only am I going to break up the foundations of the things you're dealing with, I'm going to fill you with my spirit. When you get filled with my spirit, you have to now speak the word of God with confidence. You know what he's really saying? That when you really get up and pray, there's something that comes over you that came over Jesus after he had prayed. After Jesus had prayed, the temptation still came. But Jesus had what? Just came out of prayer. And he was anointed by what? The Holy Ghost. And so when the enemy came in, like he will, you're not going to be quiet. Are you hearing me? Because after you prayed, you're not quiet anymore. After you prayed, you're not intimidated anymore. After you prayed, you're not hiding anymore. Now, after you pray, you say, "It is written." I want you to stand on your feet this morning. God is telling you that after you pray, after you pray, they're good. Listen, after you pray, he's going to fill you with the Spirit. And now you're going to have the confidence and the boldness. You're not intimidated by that attack anymore. Jesus did not come out of that prayer attacked and weak. He came out of that attack and bold. Temptations are going to still come to you tomorrow. But after you pray, bring it on, Satan. And he spoke the word. God's going to take all of us that wants it to a place that we're going to start speaking the word of God after we pray. Lift your hands right now all over this congregation. He wants to give somebody, anybody, everybody, solution to your attacks. He wants to tell somebody, I know how you are before prayer, and I get it. I know how much you want to hide and you feel so weak without it, I get it. But let me tell you, when you start to pray, I want to tell you, I am loosing angels to go before you and fight on your behalf. I'm loosing your help. I'm loosing my power to go before you. And then after I am loosened, I'm going to let my spirit descend upon you. And I'm going to shake up the very foundations of your problem. But then above that, you are going to now speak the word of God with boldness. Now say, God, let that be my prayer right now. God, let me have power in prayer. I don't want to do the what, or somebody tell me what to do. I want to do it because I want to prevail. I want to win. Now say it again. Lord, help me to prevail. Lord, help me to prevail. Help me to pray. Help me to believe that there's power in prayer. Help me to win and fight battles. Help me fight. Now open up these altars to any and everybody in this house that wants to come down and say, Lord, help me to prevail. Help me to understand the why behind praying. I'm going to pray because I know it will release power and angels to help fight on my behalf. If you have something that's going on in your life, this is your moment. This is your opportunity and your time to allow God's presence and His Spirit to fill you up. And let's make this a house of prayer so that we can prevail after we pray. Help me to prevail over my child. Help me to prevail over my home. Help me to prevail over my sickness. Help me to prevail over my problem. Help me to prevail. Help me to prevail, God. Come on, I say, help me to prevail, God. I cannot do it by myself, God. I can't win by myself, God. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Help me to prevail. I say, come on, you're breaking through the house of God. In the name of Jesus, I said, I humble myself before you, Lord. I humble myself before you, Lord. I cannot do this without you, Lord. Let your heart go out to Him right now. Let your heart reach out to Him right now. Lord, I need you to fight. I need you to loose hands on my behalf, God. I want to have prevailing power through prayer, oh God. In the name of Jesus.
This is how we fight our battle. 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 This is how we fight our
you are. your grace.